Please call and make your pledge at 818-985-5735. That is 818-985-5735. Peace and love.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles and streaming across the globe at kpfk.org.
Welcome to the Car Show, broadcasting this Saturday and every Saturday on KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-host in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney and the owner of not one, but two Mazdas, a Miata and an RX-8, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Here we are again, bringing car news to everybody in Southern California. Hopefully,
all the
everyone
good boys
had
and girls.
Yes, who had a good Thanksgiving and are now R&Ring the rest of the weekend.
Yes, indeed. We got how many more days? Well, day and a half until everybody has to go back to work.
And school, yes.
Where the beatings will continue until
morale improves. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's how it works around here. Okay, let's just dive right into it. We always start with the calendar section, and we have some interesting stuff. I just finished writing this story about a new exhibit at the Peterson Automotive Museum called Mr. Brainwash. Have you ever heard of Mr. Brainwash?
I have not. I was brainwashed, so I forgot.
The exhibit is called Cars Are Beautiful, Mr. Brainwash at the Peterson. It's now opened in the Armand Hammer Foundation Gallery. That's right. When you go in, you turn to the right. That's where they have kind of artsy things. And this one is for sure very artsy. Now, Mr. Brainwash is a moniker that this guy gave to himself. He was not born that. His parents didn't see him and say, okay, your name is Mr. Brainwash. He's a French guy who came to the U.S. and now lives in Los Angeles. He's been a full-time artist for many years, decades now, and he just takes funky things that he thinks are cool, and, you know, he makes art out of them. So it's a really nice-looking exhibit. I haven't been down there yet myself, but the one thing that I really liked about it was one of the installations. I don't know what else you would call them, because it's some of them, they have some cars parked in there. They have some two-dimensional art hanging on the wall, like paintings and things. And then they have recreations of various scenes from artworks. Like they have a recreation of Rodin's The Thinker, except The Thinker in his pose is clutching a Richard Petty stock car under his arm. Very cute, very clever. But my favorite is the takeoff on Van Gogh's Bedroom in Arles. I hope I'm saying that right. Excusez-moi if I'm not. The original painting, the artist's name is Thierry Guetta. I'm probably butchering his name too. So I got very poor grades in French, by the way, in case you couldn't tell.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu, zut alors. Everybody who has an inkling of French is turning off their radios. Don't turn off your radios. I won't speak any more French. I promise. But so that a painting is like was Van Gogh's bedroom when he was staying in this place. And it just has this beautiful deep blue and violet and green window frames and everything. So what this artist did at the Peterson Automotive Museum is he recreated that painting in three-dimensional. So it's like you're in the room there. And in Van Gogh's painting, the bed is just like a regular bed. This guy, Mr. Brainwash, recreated the bed as one of those kids' beds shaped like a race car. And there's a picture of him. You can go to autoweek.com and see this, see a lot of pictures of this stuff that's in this exhibit. And I just think it was hilarious. And he has a couple of Fiat 500s, one that he covered in pink fur, because wouldn't you do that if you could, you know, do something, cover it in pink fur? No. Okay. Yeah. Some people are not going to get it. And, maybe if I, when I actually get down there and see it, maybe I'll have a different take on it. But, I thought it was, it looks promising. Just
well, it all of it's car inspired, right?
Yes, it's all car related, car inspired. He takes popular, what would you call them, advertising, not slogans, but sort of symbolism, and recreates it in an automotive milieu. Is that a French word?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But anyway, it seems like a really cool exhibit, and it's open now. You can go down there and see it. Go down to the Peterson Museum. Go look at peterson.org and have a, you know, have a gander.
I wonder how long it's going to be on display.
It's a long time, until 2026 is what they're saying.
Well,
so there's no hurry.
No hurry.
But
okay.
You know, you got the weekend off. So.
Well, some people do.
Some people. Oh, you have to work on weekends too?
Attorneys don't get the weekend off.
You don't have to work on the weekend.
Yes, I do. End of the month. My billable hours are due on Saturday at midnight.
You should sue your employer.
Well, for what?
I don't know.
They pay me.
Abuse of power?
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, that's the first item. We got to move right on ahead. Let's see. Let's go. What do you think? City of Glendale EV test drive event. Mm-hmm. One of our colleagues here at KPFK forwarded this to me. This is December 7th from 10 to 4 p.m. It's called the Electric Car and Bike Test Drive Event. It aims to raise awareness about the electric vehicles available today, offering a no pressure opportunity to explore EV options without the need to visit a dealership. Test drives will be conducted alongside the owners of each vehicle, and the list of available EVs includes Tesla Model Y, Tesla Cybertruck. I might go down there. I still haven't driven a Cybertruck. Maybe I should go down there December 7th and get into a Cybertruck. It's bulletproof, so you can't hurt it. Let's see. What else do they have? Hyundai Ioniq 5, Ford F-150 Lightning, and I'm sure there will be others. Registration is required to test drive an EV. You can register on the event website, which it looks like it's, does that look like a GWP or an OWP?
It's a G for Glendale. So it's GWP for Glendale Water and Power.
Ah, gwp.evnavigator.com/evdrive.html. So anyway, location Glendale City Hall. That is at 120 North Isabel Street in Glendale, California. Parking 650 East Wilson Avenue in Glendale. Again, that's December 7th at 10 to 4. So sign up for that. Check that out.
I also saw in the press release, they're going to have EV bikes also.
Okay, good. Those are fun things.
Yeah, so they'll have those available for test drives too.
Have you ridden an EV bike yet?
No.
I've ridden quite a few of them. And it's not just, most of them are the kind where you have to pedal to engage the electric motor. So it's not a free ride. You don't just sit there and twist the throttle like a motorcycle.
It's just easier than a regular bike, right?
It is indeed easier.
Yeah. Yep. I've heard that that's the best way to go and see France.
And Provence. Electric bike?
Yes, to e-bike around Provence.
I don't know.
There's a lot of maybe tour groups if someone wants to do that. You can sign up for a tour.
All right.
With an e-bike. They'll give you one when you get there. Yeah.
You get travel suggestions as well. Let's have a look at Irwindale. What do you think, Michelle? Irwindale Speedway still, you know, I keep waiting for them to say, okay, we worked it out and it's not closing.
Right.
At Irwindale Speedway, it looks like it's closing. And I have heard that they've already got the concrete tilt-up buildings planned for that facility. It's 25 years they kept going.
Right.
So they've
been open since 1999.
Yep.
We've been seeing Instagram commentators saying things like, okay, since we can't drag race anymore legally, here we go, Compton Speedway, let's go. And it's been bad for the street race community. Seems to think this is an outlet that they really liked. And what are we supposed to do now? Yeah, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It'll affect not only the local drag racing scene, but the circle track racers. You're a big fan of those guys, I know. And Formula Drift, which held events there. It was called the House of Drift because it's such a fantastic, perfect facility for drifting. But there are three events left before the whole thing closes. The final Thursday night. Oh, no, that's a different one. Sorry. Whoops. Back up. There are three events somewhere.
You want the Moon Eyes Christmas Party on December 7th?
Yeah. Moon Eyes Christmas Party, car show and drag racing. That is a really cool show. That might be my second favorite show after the Best of France and Italy, which we already had. The Moon Eyes Christmas Party Show and Shine. Actually, they're calling it Car Show and Drag Race. Starts at 9 a.m. Vendors, live bands, pinup contest, and pinstriping. There will be, all kinds of cars. Cackle cars, hot rods, and customs gassers. It's really cool. What I would say would be rods and customs and bombs, which are the old, some lowrider cars. And what the bombs are cars that from the previous generation. You know, you think of a lowrider car, you think of a 64 or 67, 71 Chevrolet Impala. If you go back a generation, those cars are well represented at this. So that's December 7th, Moon Eyes Christmas Party, car show and drag racing. And before that, the Thursday before that on December 5th will be the final Thursday Night Thunder. Gates open 4 p.m. Drags start at 5 p.m. Burnout box starts at 6 p.m. Track closes at 10. So you've got, 5 hours of 5 hours of farewell. And from street legal to full-blown race vehicles, bring out your car or bike and spend your Thursday evening at Irwindale Drag Strip and Burnout Box. So
And then the last farewell event will be December 21st when they have the farewell party. This is also all-day event, just like the Moon Eyes party. And they're going to have drag strip will be going. They're going to have all kinds of racing on the short track. So they'll have the ARCA Series West, Pro Late Models, Modifieds. They're going to have jet cars, trailer races also. And they'll have invitation-only drifting, so you can't drift, but you can go see probably Rob Dom and all the other hotshots who are commonly seen there. And then they're going to have fireworks at the end of the night, and you have to get a reserve ticket. But you get free pit access with your ticket, and this is the first time they've ever done that.
Oh.
You can meet the drivers and go in the pits.
Yeah. All right.
So tickets are already on sale. Hopefully there's some left. Go to IrwindaleSpeedway.com and that's how you get to your tickets.
Okay. Good. Good.
All right.
And goodbye. I mean, since 1999, I was there when that first night when it opened. Pete Lyons was there. A lot of people were there on that first night that it opened. And there have been a lot of races in the ensuing 25 years. Yeah. What is it? How many racetracks have been in Irwindale? Our friend Harold Osmer pointed out. I think there were four just within the city limits of the city of Irwindale.
Wow.
And now we're back down to zero. So.
Yeah, and that's the same like what Corona was like that. There was the circle track in Corona went all the way around the city.
Right.
And then so many in L.A., of course, out by where UCLA was. I was just... Lance Jennings, who is the PR guy for the USAC series, he sent me a promo photo of the Gilmore Stadium was a host of the Turkey Night in the very beginning. And apparently Gilmore Stadium was right there around like Robertson and Pico or something like that. And it was a wood track, right?
Yeah, I think, let's see. Boy, where's Harold when we need him?
Right.
It was, I believe it was on the site of Farmer's Market at 3rd and Fairfax.
Oh.
I think is where the Gilmore Stadium was, if I'm not incorrect. And then there was, of course, another board track right in Beverly Hills where we now have, Rodeo Drive. There were tracks all over the place. You can buy Harold's book, one of many, several books that he has written about racetracks in Southern California. Where They Raced was the name of that. I think they probably sell them at Auto Books, Aero Books. And speaking of Auto Books, Aero Books, our buddy's going to be there. Michelle, your buddy too.
Yeah. Everybody knows Dave Wolin.
Dave Wolin. He used to race in Can-Am. Did you know that?
Yes.
And he ran, what did he run? Mitsubishi's racing program in the 90s, I think it was. He's done just about everything. Mm-hmm. And now he's been writing books.
Yeah. So you can meet him and he'll sign your books free of charge while you're there. And this is going to happen at Auto Books in Burbank on December 14th. He'll be there from 11 to 3. The address is 2900 Magnolia Boulevard. He'll be signing copies of all of his books, but he's promoting his new book called 50 Years of Speed, The Long Beach Grand Prix. And, you know, he's got other books out there already on Riverside, Ascot, and all the other California racetracks.
Yeah,
he loves the history of everything.
He knows a lot. So go there. And a lot of people get there like 10 o'clock or so. Or they get there earlier. If you get there a little bit later in the afternoon, most of the people have already filtered through. And you can have Dave Wolin all to yourself. Ask him what Can-Am was like. What was that like driving in Can-Am, Dave?
Yeah. I actually bought one of his print of one of his old yellow. It looks like a McLaren yellow car.
I forget which car he drove in Can-Am. He told me, and I can't remember it. It was, he said it, well, it was just a used car that somebody else didn't want or something,
right.
You know, but I mean, still you're driving in Can-Am. My goodness. That's,
I know.
Yeah. That is impressive.
And he says, if you don't want to buy a book, just drop by and talk with him about cars.
He'll sell you a book though. By the time you leave, you'll be guilted into it. And then we also have down in Orange County, we have a new Cars and Coffee.
We do. Where is this notice?
There's a new one. New Cars and Coffee in Orange County. This one is for the exotics crowd. It's called OC Exotics and Espresso. Notice we didn't say espresso like.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm so glad you didn't do that because
shows
it drives me crazy.
We are European elitists here. Espresso. It'll be every Saturday from 9 to 11 at 7535 Irvine Center Drive. That's where the 133, 405, and 5, do we want to say collide?
No.
Where the 133, 405, and 5 collide in Irvine.
Yeah, that area is the whole Irvine Auto Center area. It's all kind of brand new. There's a Porsche dealership, an Audi. There's a whole bunch of car dealerships down there. So it's a little tricky. You can see it from the freeway, but just really be careful and pay attention to your directions getting there. Yeah.
All right. So it's too late to go today because it's from 9 to 11,
but
it's every Saturday.
Yeah, they've already started having this every Saturday. I just finally got it into the calendar.
Ah, good.
So they have coffee, snacks, and cool cars, and that's the quote from their press release.
Okay. And just a couple more quick events. Of course, our buddies at Supercar Sunday, they put on Motor for Toys charity car show and toy drive Sunday, December 8th from 6:30 a.m. to 12 at L.A. Pierce College, 6201 Winnetka Avenue, Woodland Hills. But do not type that address in because you'll never get to the actual Cars and Coffee. Take Victory Boulevard and Mason entrances only. It's you want to bring a toy worth $20 or more, unwrapped. Make it a good one. Just invest some money. This is charity, people. And that's your admission. Get you in there. Make some kid happy. The web address is motor4toys.com, and 4 is the number 4. And then in addition to that, I think there are two things that are the two events I'm aware of that are participating in the Chips for Kids Toy Drive. First one is the Brea Holiday Car Show. That is Sunday, December 8th from 10 to 4 on Birch Street in downtown Brea. And then the other one is the one that we talked about last week, at the Wally Parks Motorsport Museum. The last event will be there, and I can't find it here. Do you see it somewhere, Michelle?
I don't. I'm sorry.
It got eaten up. So just go to the website for those guys, and bring a toy to both of them. Bring a toy to every girl and boy down there. $20 or more, unwrapped.
All right.
And then the one more event before
one more.
Completely out of time. American Honda Collection Hall. Cars, bikes, and coffee on Saturday, December 14th. So you got a couple weeks to prepare for that. That happens 7:30 a.m. to 12 noon at Honda headquarters in Torrance. The theme this time is clubs and community. So that's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I say that having never been to it.
And it's free. You don't have to, just show up. It's 1919 Torrance Boulevard. Enter off Harper's Way.
Harper's Way. Yeah. And on to the news. Michelle, take it away. What terrible thing has happened in the auto industry that still can't believe?
Okay, take your pick. Let's start off with Jaguar.
Okay.
Jaguar had an interesting week because they have decided to unveil in little bits, of course, very British, their new logo. Their new creative philosophy for the brand. They are going with a concept called exuberant modernism. So they have gone and given a quick press release and reveal out of the UK at Gaydon, where their people are based. And their head of PR, Ken McConomy, I bet he has a great accent. Has been saying that they've decided just to reboot and have a new creative philosophy. They are going to completely reveal, including a new vehicle, on December 2nd in Miami as part of Miami Art Week. They are saying that they are trying to key into the ethos of founder Sir William Lyons to copy nothing. Oh boy. So the vehicle that will be revealed has been spotted in spy photos with the camo on it. It's a four-door.
It looks like an industrial refrigeration unit.
It's large.
Yeah. Well, and it goes perfectly with those idiotic commercial things that they had and the changing of the logo and everything. It's just, they are in desperate trouble. God knows what's going to happen to Jaguar.
And didn't they just pare down their entire lineup to one vehicle, right?
Yep.
And so here's the next one. So they'll have two vehicles in their lineup. Now, the scuttlebutt is that they're trying to go premium. So we're not just talking luxury, which is they've always been a luxury brand. They're trying to compete with Bentley. They're trying to compete with Rolls-Royce. They're trying to compete with Maybach. They're going for the moon and the stars here.
And they're going for it with an industrial refrigeration unit. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It'll be a four-door EV, though.
Yes, a four-door EV. I was going to say.
It's camo to be, photos.
It's going to be an EV. They are touting already 430 miles of range. And ability to hold or add 200 miles of range in 15 minutes when hooked up to a level 3 fast charger.
And it totally depends on how many watts that level 3 charger is as well. You know, you can, in theory, get, 350 watts of electricity blasting into your car. But in practice, I don't think I've ever come upon a 350-watt level 3 charger anywhere in the world at this early point. Maybe by 2026 things will get better, but it's just so sad because that F-Type was such a cool car.
Yes.
It had so many different engines available, powertrains available, That was really cool. I just, the sedans, I love those things. They were a blast.
I had gone to a couple of Jaguar events in conjunction with the LA Auto Show over the years. They always had a huge, huge turnout. They would invite customers. And I would just talk to them casually about what did they like about their Jaguars and their XJ. You know, they just would say, I love my car. Every single one of them said, I absolutely love my car. And then, of course, they were in racing. They had an entry in the e-racing.
Right. And before that, they were in F1. Remember, not too long ago, they were in F1.
Wow, what a change. And so if you want to look at a really weird video, there's one on YouTube. Just go Jaguar, new concept, and it will pop up. And then, of course, you can also Google Jaguar, new concept and new design, and it'll pop up with the logos. It'll pop up with what we think is going to be the hood ornament or whatever's going to go on the front of the hood. It's going to be a little J and an R in a circle. It kind of looks like an upside down J with the R. So
weren't people saying it looked like the Hello Kitty logo?
I don't think so.
No, but no. All right.
I like the Leaper logo. I actually do like that. It's a Leaper, you know, with the cat or the Jag. He's leaping and he's got stripes on the back. That actually looks pretty cool to me. Whoever did that deserves kudos. The rest of it,
it looked like a very bad dream that you're having, and you can't wake up from it.
I'm praying for the brand.
Well, now, aren't we going to be able to see very soon?
Yes, they're going to take the camo off on December 2nd in Miami. So they'll show it.
Part of Miami Art Week.
Yes, so it's coming up.
Yeah, so. Oh, man.
All
but, you know,
revealed.
You think about it. Could any car company make it just selling, two-door fabulous sports coupe? Pays. No, they couldn't. So, but everybody else just went to crossover utility vehicles. Mm-hmm. Jag is leapfrogging all of that and throwing all its money on a Bentley competitor.
Yeah.
Oh, it's tough. Are we bashing them too much? Should we be supportive?
I've tried to find some supportive comments.
Okay.
We would just be one of the many voices, Mark.
Come on, Jag. You can do it. I don't know. All right, let's roll on to tariffs. Michelle, what do you think about these new tariffs? Because we're going to punish the bad guys, right? That's what tariffs do, right?
Well, yeah, we want them to stop doing this importing of vehicles. Do we? Do we really want that?
It's a global economy, isn't it?
Yes.
There's no such thing as just, you know, one. I don't know. But what do you think? You're our attorney.
Let's just start with what has been said. Maybe we should start there.
All right.
That on day one of the new administration, one of the top items will be to impose a 25% tariff on everything coming in from Mexico or from Canada. Okay. And then fact number two is we sort of have a national agreement for trade. And it's called a free trade agreement, which means you're not supposed to be imposing any tariffs. So I'm going to see, as the attorney here, lawsuits on the horizon to stop all this. If it does happen, if that's an attempt that's made by the administration, well, there's going to be some lawsuits filed. And the Mexican president, Claudia
Sheinbaum.
Claudia
Sheinbaum.
The Madam President's name.
Yes.
She has said, all right, I'll raise you. We'll do the same thing. So it becomes a tit for tat. And we have seen this before. And you know who loses? You
the
and
consumer.
Me. Yay! Because
consumer,
everything gets...
Especially the poor consumer that can't afford stuff. I mean...
Yeah. So you want a new Volkswagen that's built in Mexico, like a Jetta? Okay. You can have it. It's just going to cost you more to get that nice, very simple little basic transportation Jetta. That's the problem.
Well, Sheinbaum did say she was willing to engage in talks on the issues. But
she has to. She has to say that, right? Because she doesn't want this to escalate.
Here's a quote from her. One tariff would be followed by another in response, and so on until we put at risk common businesses, she said, referring to U.S. automakers that have plants on both sides of the border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said that Mexico, and there was one of the many things that's being bandied about is the flow of migrants from the Mexican border into the U.S. And she said that Mexico had done a lot to stem the flow of migrants, noting that caravans of migrants no longer reach the border. So, I mean, it's a complicated thing with a lot of, and then there's all the drug trade that goes on. And that's a difficult thing to fight. I don't know. It's not just the tariffs. There's a lot going on. And then, of course, there isn't the new administration. You like how we say that instead of the name? Mm-hmm. Isn't that administration threatening the same tariffs on Canada?
Yes, and China.
Okay, so.
Yes.
And then that money just goes where? To our federal government? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know, man. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And the manufacturers have no choice but to pass it along to the consumer.
Right.
They've already got all these contracts. They've got things planned. They've got their production line. They've got people to pay. They can't just go, oh, okay, well, we'll stop.
Yeah, it's a big process that is years and years in the making.
Yeah, so that's in the news this week. So we just thought we'd address it and give our little spin on it. But ultimately, if there are lawsuits filed, you know what always happens? There's a delay until it gets sorted out.
You know, the thing that has me wondering is if they do file a lawsuit and the Supreme Court is packed with representatives of the new administration, if it gets all the way up to the Supreme Court, isn't it highly likely that they will just rule in whatever direction the new administration wants them to rule? I mean, is that too cynical?
No, it's the goal that's what the goal was, to put all these favored people on the court. But you got to remember that the Supreme Court isn't your first court that you go to. So when this gets filed, it goes into the lower courts, which would be federal courts. And that takes a long time. It could take a year. And so I think the thing to take away from this is, if we do get a hint of this happening, you should just go get your car ASAP. If you have an eye on something, go get it.
An eye on something that's made, not made mm-hmm. in the United States.
Right. Not imported from Detroit. Yeah.
Right.
or Alabama or Ohio.
Yes. The right to
work state. We do have a lot of domestic production still, which is great.
So, there is a lot. And in fact, Volkswagen even has what's the status of their U.S. production? That's coming up. And also Scout in a couple of years mm-hmm. will be U.S. made. Right. A lot of Kia, Hyundai,
mm-hmm. BMWs in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes is down there in the South.
Yep.
So,
there are choices. And just because it says it's American doesn't mean it's American. We've done a segment on that before.
Right.
So you have to really do your research if this becomes an issue.
I think it's gonna, I don't know. You don't know what's bluster and what's actually going to happen.
That's the thing.
So we'll have to wait and see.
We
do know. We do know that in 2026, we're going to have a new Formula One team, right?
Oh, yes. And it's going to be American.
Yay.
Yes.
America.
Because
Cadillac Formula One team improved for 2026.
Yes.
And so
this was huge. This was a huge thing. Cadillac's had a lot of success in other series. And they've.
Right.
This is good. I think they're primed to actually do something good with this. I think it might be an interesting team to watch.
Yep. Yep. And they're going to have what? Ferrari engine in the thing at first, anyway.
Yeah. That's what they say.
While
they develop their own. Right. Right. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wouldn't you love to be on that team of engineers?
That would be cool.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Hi, we're going to use this Ferrari engine. We need to make it better.
Yeah, better than the Ferrari started out with.
Yeah.
Well, it'll sound good, if nothing else.
It'll
grow. I mean, Haas Formula One is the other American team has not been doing, gangbusters. No. in Formula One. It's tough to get. It's like some manufacturers think, oh, we'll just go into NASCAR and win a championship. It's not that easy. The guy's been doing it for decades, and there are ways to figure it out and other ways not to figure it out. But Formula One is set to have 11 teams in 2026. So, you know, Cadillac will be there. It's an evolution of sorts of the Michael Andretti led Andretti Global bid, which was approved by the FIA but rejected by Formula One. And instead, it'll be General Motors that is committed to a full works effort, Auto Week reports. GM, through its Cadillac brand, will use the infrastructure and personnel established by Andretti Global at its Silverstone, UK satellite base, and will become the 11th team beginning in 2026. So
this is the time, Mark. Put in your application and get on that. William, come on.
As a driver, as an engineer?
Whatever.
I don't think I could do anything. I mean, I couldn't even do the PR for those guys.
Oh, you underestimate yourself.
Nope. I'm realistic.
But how fun would that be to get in on the ground level at that organization? Anyway.
Yeah, it'd be neat to be in Formula One. I don't know. Maybe if you were younger, it would be.
They say that veteran designer Pat Simons is going to be part of the team.
Right.
Yeah, and they're recruiting. So move to Europe and be part of the Silverstone team.
I'll leave that to the guys with some talent. Royce, the GM president, said, as the pinnacle of motorsports, F1 demands boundary-pushing innovation and excellence. It's an honor for General Motors and Cadillac to join the world's premier racing series, and we're committed to competing with passion and integrity to elevate the sport for race fans around the world. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. Nice. And, you know, Cadillac does make some pretty cool, sporty cars. So there you go.
Yeah, my friend who sold me the Ocho, my RX-8, kept threatening for years to buy a Cadillac to replace that in her garage. She ended up with a Mini Cooper.
That's also fun to drive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's all into fun cars. And she was just... Oh my gosh, I got to get me a Cadillac.
They are fun.
Yeah.
I got to drive a CTS-V a couple of years ago around Road America many times. I mean, for like most of the day. And it did well. It did well. So we wish them well.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. All right. What else do we have? Should we go on into the reviews?
Yeah. We need to do that.
Yes, because we have a couple of things to review here. So, Michelle, why don't you start, since you're the Mazda expert on staff?
Right. So I had the pleasure of getting into a 2025 Mazda CX-70. It's a Turbo S Premium. So what does that mean, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is... The CX-70 is a midsize SUV Mazda's had out, and it is five people capable. You can fold down the rear seats for your extra storage in the back. And I took it to Big Bear because I heard that there would be some weather up there.
Yeah.
So I did 400 miles here and back. And a lot of it was on twisties, because did you know that the 330 is still closed? So you have to use the 18.
Is it closed because of the fire that was there?
Yes. And it's still closed. Still closed. Yeah. So you have to go up the 215, the 210 really quick, and then you're on the 18. And it's easily hour and a half of use, curves, twisties. Hairpins.
Did anybody in your car get car sick?
No.
Okay.
No. And I also had weather. We had rain. We had ice on the ground. There was snow on the ground up there in Big Bear. So
as they say, you put it through its paces.
Absolutely.
And
I loved it. And I felt like this is a victory for Mazda to have a 5-person SUV that weighs 5,000 pounds handle as well as it did, really. And this is, yes, it's a turbo. I had the top trim level. And this thing is also available in a PHEV, plug-in hybrid, if you want one. As tested, it's 3.3 turbo. I had the S Premium Plus. It's a 6-cylinder, 3.3 liter, 8-speed automatic. I did not care for the lower gearing at all. And
what was missing? There was no torque available, or
right, what? Right. I felt like it was weak, and then
off the line. See, if you had the hybrid, you would have electric assist.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what you need. You need the hybrid. Because when they put the hybrid there, they do the Atkinson cycle engine, which the internal combustion engine sacrifices low end torque for more greater efficiency at the higher end and allows the electric motor to do what used to be called low end torque.
There you go. So
I fixed your problem.
Thank you. So now I have to review that one next.
All right.
Right. So yeah, so your MPGs are really good. That's the bottom line with this thing. Okay. So like I told you, the curb weight is 5,000 pounds, right?
That's a lot.
And it was rated at 23 city, 28 highway, but doing all that and stop and go traffic on the 91, I still pulled 28 plus and 31 plus.
That's good.
I did two different, I reset it twice.
Okay.
And so I beat whatever they were going for here.
Yeah,
and I did not go gentle.
All right.
And it was a lot uphill. So I felt like that was a pretty good run for the gas mileage.
Yeah. You know, an interesting thing. Yeah. How many people did you have in the car on this trip?
4 or 5.
Okay.
And 2. I had different, because we did all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Okay. Did you know that the CX-70 carries the exact same measurements of the CX-90, but it just has the 2 rows instead of 3?
Exactly. Yes, there. I did know that. And so some of the comments.
Did you say that and I just didn't listen?
No.
Man not listening.
I didn't. So that's the debate about which one to get.
Right.
Do you want a five seat with a lot of room, especially for cargo, or do you want to go to the CX-90, which is the largest one, 3-row and less cargo?
Yeah.
So, because the pricing is pretty similar. When you go to the top of the line on the CX-70, like I had,
right,
the pricing is pretty similar to the CX-90. You just have to decide how many people do you want to fit in there and how much.
I think if you, unless you're doing a carpool with middle school students, I'd say go for the CX-70.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is really nice to have. Back when we were doing carpools, I remember if you could get a 3-row anything, it was really handy to have. So what's your take on that?
Oh, depends on your situation. I really think if you have little kids, they'd be comfortable in the 3rd row.
Yeah.
But for most people who don't have little kids, that the 5-seater CX-70 model would be perfect. And I got to tell you, we drove up there for a Friendsgiving and I had to basically do a catering operation for this.
Right.
And I stuffed a ton of stuff back there. Uh-huh. And when I got there, there were already a couple of guys at the cabin and they started pulling everything out and were amazed at how far and deep all the stuff went that I had to unload.
Okay.
So, and the handling was excellent going up and down all those hills.
Well, we can thank our friend Dave Coleman, the Mazda engineer, who is responsible for that. He's been on this show. So
nice.
Thank you, Dave.
So
thanks for listening.
I also really think it's got a good looking exterior. And the as tested model premium had really nice interior luxury appointments. Everybody said, whoa, that's a Mazda. Because we had suede, we had on the dash, we had premium leather on all the steering wheel and on the armrests. It was really well done, very nicely appointed inside. And I also had heat seats. They were happy to have heated seats in the back.
Right.
Because it was cold. I mean, it was 30 degrees up there. So everybody was turning on the seat heaters, and then there's USB or USC ports in front and back for good. Everybody to use. Plenty of, I mean, it was just comfortable. It's a very comfortable, it's a lot larger than you'd think of a 5-person SUV. It looks bigger. It's got 21-inch wheels. It's 68.7 height. It was just large. It looked like it would be a 3-row.
All right. So it's a large practical thing. And I just saw what I wrote when this, when we did the first drive of the CX-70 with Mazda, it rides on double wishbones in front. And because the engine is longitudinally mounted, it allows for longer suspension arms that in turn allow for increased camber during cornering, and they can be tuned for a better ride quality. This is according to Mazda. Rear suspension, meanwhile, is a 5-link setup to improve rear grip, Mazda said. So, and on top of that, yes, they are fun to drive. And in addition to that suspension, the CX-70 has something called kinematic posture control that applies brake force to the inside rear wheel during cornering for a, quote, stable sensation on a winding road. That's basically if you grip that, if you slow that inside rear wheel, the whole car kind of swings around and pivots into the corner. So, yeah.
So I didn't feel like it was difficult at all to navigate that up and down all those curves on the 18 freeway.
Indeed.
It was awesome. So trim levels, they've got 4 trim levels on this, and it's a little complicated. Mazda always does this.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I own two Mazdas. So yeah. I'm not trying to trash my own brand. I'm just saying that it's difficult to figure out what their nomenclature actually means.
Yeah, you have to sit there on the internet and, you know, compare the models side by side.
Yeah, so they start off at the preferred trim at $40,445 and up, of course, depending on what options. Then you have your, they're all 3.3 turbos. Okay. So going in, that's
straight six too, by the way, straight six, mm-hmm. which you don't see that too often.
Right.
Usually it's a transverse mounted V6, which puts all the weight farther forward. And, you know, as we said, affects the amount of the length of the suspension arms.
Yes. All are also all wheel drive standard.
Yes.
Okay. And then your premium package is $45,900 MSRP. Your premium plus is the next level up, $48,900. Then Turbo S premium package, $52,450. And finally, as tested for me, the Turbo S premium plus package, $55,950.
Okay. Good.
And when I looked on the Mazda website, they were offering free financing. 0% on this vehicle.
That's nice of them.
Yeah. So, you know, the end of the year is a great time to buy a car, by the way.
Yeah, wait, go shopping on New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. They'll be open. Yeah. Any car dealer. So I give it a good 2 thumbs up, Mark.
All right.
For the CX-70.
And I got to agree with you. When I drove it several months ago, I also drove on a twisty mountain road, the Palms to Pines Highway above Palm Springs, California. And I was impressed with both models. I started out with the Turbo S Premium Plus. Is that the exact model you had?
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. So 340 horsepower, 369 pound-feet of torque. I did not notice any lack of torque at the lower engine speeds. And what I wrote here, straight from my notes, that thing hauled up the Palms to Pines Highway like Wile E. Coyote was chasing it with dinner cutlery in each hand. So there you go.
It does haul. Yes. Get it past the first 2 clicks and you're in. And
yes. Yes, indeed. And I also drove the 4-cylinder plug-in hybrid on that same road. And that has 323 peak horsepower and the same torque, 369 pound-feet. So, you know, it should feel similar until you get toward the top end of the rev range. And, you know, maybe people don't do that in a crossover utility vehicle. I don't know. But
all right.
I think my takeaway from that was to get the model that you had, I think. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. And also, you can tow with it. It had a good tow capacity. It says 5,000 pounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
All righty.
It's all there. Okay. Shall we move on to Hyundai? Let's move on to Hyundai because I drove the 2026 Ioniq 9. And now that is an electric. No, I back up. I did not drive this. This was introduced at the LA Auto Show.
Oh, so you
I drove the VinFast that we talked about last week. VF9. I did not drive the Hyundai yet. The 2026 Ioniq 9 is, of course, all electric. It's a battery electric vehicle, and it is it goes into the electric portfolio of Hyundai. Hyundai is such a big company that it has internal combustion engines, it has hybrids, it has plug-in hybrids, and it has battery electric vehicles. It even still offers, technically, a fuel cell, a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle or two. So it's about 2 inches longer overall than a Hyundai Palisade, 9 inches longer in the wheelbase, which means that the inside of it, of the Ioniq 9, should be really nice and roomy. Hyundai optimistically says that it will compete with the Tesla Model X and Rivian R1S. So, I mean, good for them. Aim high. You know, I'm competing with Hemingway in my job. So,
dang right. Yeah.
Good for me. So, but the interesting thing is that I got to talk to some of the executives, and they say, yeah, the future is going to be electrified. I spoke to, and I'm going to not say, I'm terrible with names, Olabisi Boyle, Senior Vice President of Product Planning at Hyundai Motor North America. And I asked, you know, you guys are introducing this battery electric vehicle. Do you think that's where the future is? And here's a quote from her. We do feel the future is electrified. She said, it might not be what we thought it was going to be 5 years from now. It might be 10 years from now, but we feel that the future is that. So we have to keep going on that goal, on that journey. We are not stopping. So Hyundai thinks ultimately, however we get there, it's going to be an electric future. And this Ioniq 9 looks like a very practical vehicle for, you know, big families. It's I'm looking at three rows of seats here in some of the pictures. You can see this article at autoweek.com, by the way, a plug for my own employer. It rides on a lengthened version of the eGMP electrified vehicle platform. That's a 123-inch wheelbase and almost just short of 200 inches length overall. So you can't complain about the interior. You get 22 cubic feet of luggage space when you have all the seats up. If you fold the third row flat, you get 46.7 cubic feet of storage. That's a lot of storage, mm-hmm. as you found out with your CX-70.
Yeah.
It's very handy to have. You know, you can put all kinds of things. There's even a frunk. Well, they don't say frunk. They say front trunk, because I don't know. Maybe Tesla does. Has Tesla copyrighted?
I don't think so.
I haven't heard that they did.
No. As far as I know, everybody who is putting out EVs has been using that term.
Yeah. So anyway, they have a little frunk up there to store stuff. And you get more storage space in the frunk if you get just the rear wheel drive. If you get all wheel drive, it eats up a little bit of your frunk storage space. And you can get on the inside, you can get seating. You can get a choice of 6 or 7 seating positions. So you can get the captain's chairs in the second row. Now, one thing that, you know, if you want to complain, because we all complain about everything, in other markets, you can get those captain's chairs that spin around to face the rear seats. And, you know, for card playing or, you know, arguing or something, they're called swiveling seats. We cannot get them because our government will not allow us to get those. Is that?
Yes. They're unsafe.
They're unsafe, right. Well, you know, you have to.
I think it would be cool if they could engineer it, because they could probably engineer it where it'll only work when the vehicle is off.
Yeah, but then, you know, why not engineer it so that you can swing around when the car is in motion? Maybe because somebody would swing it halfway and then they would have the frontal impact. Yes. Yes.
And
lawyers.
It's
all the lawyers. You lawyer types are controlling automotive development in America. So the center console in that slides fore and aft. So if you're in the back seat, you can slide that center console toward you, and you can, oh, it's hinged on both ends, so you can open it on the back row to check it out. They call that Universal Island 2.0 console.
Wow.
Comes up with these names. I don't know. Let's see, what else do we have? The exterior, I like the look of it. If you went to the LA Auto Show, and you can still get to the LA Auto Show, by the way, it's still open today and tomorrow. So, you know, go down there. Everybody who was going to go might have already gone, so you might have the whole place all to yourself. But you can check it out. The exterior, like if you look at the Ioniq 5, the Hyundai Ioniq 5, I think is a little bit more angular.
Mm-hmm. Than the 6. Yeah.
Or than the 9 that we're talking about here. And I think they've done a really good job of making the two box shape appealing. If you look at the rear end, I talked to the designer, Simon Losby, head of Hyundai Design, and he says that he called that a boat tail rear end, which I don't know, maybe you can kind of, if you look at it from a certain angle, maybe it looks like a boat tail. And you know those little squares that are on all the Ioniqs?
Yes.
Those are called parametric pixels. Did you know that?
Oh, is that what they're called? Okay, great. I was wondering.
Parametric pixels. So, and Losby says, Ioniq 9 is our type of clean SUV. So there you go. We don't have prices, of course. That will be coming out later, closer toward launch. But we do know that the battery pack is 110 kilowatt hours, good for a maximum EPA estimated range of 335 miles. I think that's more than enough for almost everything that you're going to do.
Did those guys talk on when it would be available or launched?
They did, in fact. They did. And talk amongst yourselves for just a minute while I find it out. Let's see. No, I don't see it here.
Okay. And so were you able to just go and sort of peruse around the vehicle on display? And
we got to go inside, sit inside it. And,
okay.
I was quite happy with it.
Okay.
I thought it was fun. It was nice. It looks cool. So anyway, we got 1 minute to go. What else do we want to say to our fine listeners?
Oh, no. We only have one more minute?
One more minute. Cadillac Formula One team. We got that.
Okay.
Mazda CX-70.
What's going on with the... Could you do a brief thing on the Grand Wagoneer retrofit?
No. We're now down to almost 30 seconds.
Okay. So next week, we'll do the Grand Wagoneer retrofit.
Yeah, that was a guy who put a Hellcat Red Eye engine into like a Grand Wagoneer from the 80s or something.
Oh, awesome.
Fun to drive.
Can't wait to hear about that. Okay, so if in the meantime, you can give us a like and a follow on Facebook at The Car Show on KPFK 90.7 FM.
All right, and you can also donate at kpfk.org. Go there, click the donate button, and we will see you here next week on The Car Show.
The Pacifica mission statement is to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, to encourage and supply outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and color, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together,
there.
And to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters
vitally affecting the community.
The Pacifica Mission Statement.
You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles.